Welcome to Arkansas Cooks. This is your host, Mary Tweet, and I'm here to meet and eat with Arkansas cooks, and then I tell you all about it. South on Main has all the spirits that will move you, I promise. Don't go away, you're listening to Arkansas Cooks. Good afternoon, I am Mary Tweet, and you are listening to Arkansas Cooks. I have never been a big drinker. You know, I like wine, I like beer with a meal, whatever, but I rarely get a cocktail unless it's some kind of fluffy, girly drink like a margarita or a fluffy drink. Now, I had a cocktail one time that was about something to do with some pea tendrils, and it knocked me off my seat. It tasted like I had springtime in a cocktail glass. It was fabulous. Holy cow, it was good. Now, the person who made that drink was David Burnett, and he is now at South on Main, and he is a superstar in the world of cocktails. So here we go to South on Main to see my friend David Burnett. Do you have a happy hour at South on Main?
Every hour.
Every hour is happy. I'm with David Burnett, who is the wizard behind the bar, and I've drank some of your drinks that just have really blown my socks off. So tell me a little bit how you got started bartending, David.
I started in Nashville, Tennessee. I moved there in 2003 and got a job at the Merchants downtown as a waiter, and instantly fell in love with the bar. And did everything I could to fight my way into a position where I could learn to do what I'm doing now. So it's always been a lot of fun. I've always looked forward to making drinks for people.
Well, so, I mean, you had to go to school on this behind the bar, probably. Most of your work was on the job learning.
On the job training. That's pretty much how I've learned to do what I do. But also a lot of education as far as amongst peers and other bartenders, and traveling to different bartender conferences and what have you. I just got back from Portland Cocktail Week, and it was a lot of fun.
Portland, it's obviously Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. Cocktail Week. People, when you say that, I went to Portland Cocktail Week, they're like, I want to go to Portland Cocktail Week. I mean, what was that like?
It's amazing. It's kind of an invite-only situation where they bring in bartenders from around the world, and we all get together and learn about our craft and how to do it better. That was a lot of fun. Very, very educational experience, but also a great opportunity to see friends that I've worked with before, other capacities, and other cocktail festivals and what have you. So,
and there, you know, there's a real science behind bartending. I know that, you know, I don't think I'm a very good bartender, really. I mean, I can pour a glass of wine and a beer, and that's about it. But there is a real art to it.
It's not rocket science. It's measurement and dilution, you know.
But knowing what tastes good with what something else, right?
Sure. Well, in that capacity, it's just like what any home cook does when they figure out, you know, what tastes good with what. And it's just playing with flavors. I enjoy alcohol. I enjoy playing with flavors. And it was pretty natural to combine the two for me. So.
Now, do you also have a pretty good knowledge of beer and wine?
I like to think so. Okay. I've it's part of the industry, and I am very passionate about beer and wine as well. In fact, every bit as much as I am about cocktails. When I'm out on my own, I'm just as likely to order a beer or a glass of wine as I am a cocktail. But I do enjoy spirits, though. That's probably where my specialty lies.
I definitely think so. You used to work with Alexis Jones over at Natchez, and I was there one night, and you made a pea tendril martini that I'd never, ever, I mean, what, how do you come up with this?
Well, it's nice to get to work with people like Alexis Jones, because chefs like her allow us, and Matt Bell as well, allow me to have access to their ingredients. And if you've ever bitten into a pea tendril, you realize it tastes like a fresh snow pea or
like
fresh
spring.
Peas.
Yeah. It tastes like, yeah.
So it's a lot of fun to combine those ingredients with other things at work, like cucumbers and citrus and
gin
or even vodka. And that's one of the few cocktails I've made in the last few months with vodka, because I really wanted the snow peas to, or the pea tendrils to come through, and you know, you get that nice fresh pea flavor. The vodka didn't cover it up at all. So
I was really amazed by that. And the other thing I remember having that you had made was something with pickled blueberries in it.
Again, that was at Natchez with Alexis, and she enjoys making shrubs, which are basically sipping vinegars. And so I used her fruit that she'd used to pickle in a cocktail and some of her pickling liquid, and it came out very nicely.
I don't even like bourbon. I think it had bourbon in it. It was crazy.
I think that one had rye in it.
Or whiskey. Yeah. It had whiskey. I don't drink whiskey.
Oh, I love whiskey. I'm a big fan of whiskey.
So tell me what, you know, when you, because I know you opened South on Main, is that right? Did you open in here?
I did. Matt Bell gave me the excellent opportunity to help him get this place set up. And this is my first one to get to do ground up. And I really am, I'll always be grateful for the opportunity. He's helped me out a whole lot.
Well, let me tell you, I've heard a lot of people who know what they're talking about say David Burnett is the best bartender in town.
Oh, that's incredibly kind.
No, they did.
I'm very, very grateful for that kind of attention.
Well, because I think you do. You do. Now, where did you start out here? You went from Nashville to where?
I started off at the Capitol Hotel.
Okay.
Bartended there for 5 years, and it was a wonderful opportunity. We got to take a really great program and turn it into something even better.
Yeah.
I'll always be grateful for the hotel and the opportunities they gave me.
Yeah.
There was a lot of passion there. Yeah, always grateful for Warren Stevens and what he's done for the community in that aspect.
Yeah.
Bar community.
And so then where did you go?
I went from there and helped Alexis out in kind of an interim period while we were planning and getting this place off in
South
of Maine. Yeah,
she tells me she's got a great bartender now, too.
She does. Yeah, she's got a lot of talent. She's a fun place to work. She's got a fun place to work. She's a wonderful chef.
You created this menu that they have at South on Main?
I would say I put it together, because these are classic cocktails. I didn't invent them. I just pieced together pieces of a puzzle that I felt like fit on a nice classic menu.
So what is a nice classic menu?
Well, I like to take elements from cocktails that were popular before Prohibition and kind of put some mild modern touches on them, but not get too far away from the originals. We really wanted to do an American focus. But I also incorporated a lot of gin into this menu as well. So if you come in, you're going to notice that the cocktails are mostly bourbon, rum, or gin-based, which is kind of right down my alley for those old classic drinks.
So what are some of the, like a martini?
I don't have a straight-up martini on the menu. Of course, right. We'll gladly make a martini for somebody if they want one. I've made a lot of old-fashions here, and I use a really antiquated approach to an old-fashioned where I don't muddle fruit in it. I just use bitters of sugar and spirit and water.
Because most of the time now, a traditional old-fashioned has a cherry in it, and they muddle the cherry. Is that right?
That was more of a 1950s approach to making an old-fashioned. This is more of an 1800s approach to an old-fashioned. So I took it a little older on my old-fashioned.
Which is basically the sugar and the bitters kind of work off of each other with a whiskey.
With a spirit based. So you know, I chose bourbon. I chose 100 proof bourbon, bottled and bond bourbon, for our old fashioned, which is by far our top selling cocktail. And then use Old Granddad 100. And a little sugar and a little bitters. I do a bitters mixture. I use 3 different bitters in my old fashioned.
And then what was the other classic cocktail?
I do a Dark and Stormy that's been very popular here.
Now, what's a Dark and Stormy?
It's a rum-based cocktail with ginger beer, and I'll use a little lime juice and bitters as well in that. One of my favorite cocktails is called a Vucare. It's an old New Orleans cocktail invented at the Hotel Montlion in the French Quarter. Mm-hmm. And that's a rye and cognac-based cocktail, again, with a couple types of bitters and vermouth. It's not as harsh as it sounds. It's actually a nice warming cocktail for our for the winter months, fall and winter months. Other than that, I have a popular cocktail called a Bramble, Blackberry Bramble, which is a gin cocktail with blackberry liqueur, creme de mure, and citrus, and really nice, light, easy to drink cocktail.
Now, I also know that you you do lots of your own syrups, and so describe to people what it's like to have syrups behind the bar. What kind of syrups you're talking about?
Well, I mean, we basically take whatever we have in season, and again, this is one of those situations where I'm grateful to have access to the chef's ingredients, and especially any ingredients that maybe aren't used up and need to be. Matt Bell and I have been working together for years now, and he's always been very supportive and even helped me make syrups in the past. And if there's something that needs to be used or something that could potentially go to waste and we can make a syrup and make a cocktail out of it, then we jump all over it.
So give me an example. What would one of those ingredients be?
Well, for instance, at the hotel, we realized that part of the process of their famous spiced pecans that they sell at the bar was to boil the pecans in simple syrup. And we took that syrup and turned it into a soda and made pecan soda, which is, I believe, still on their menu down there.
That's pretty neat.
Really interesting ingredient, really interesting, nice, and a non-alcoholic beverage at that, if you want, you know, something without booze.
Yeah.
But again, couldn't do that kind of stuff without chef support.
You know, I don't think people know how critical it is that those two things work together.
It really is. It's one of the things that can make a business very harmonious, to have the front of the house and the back of the house communicate and work together and support each other. And you see a lot of unsuccessful restaurants. Like, that's one of the main schisms, is the chefs and the line cooks feel like they have their world, and the waiters and the bartenders feel like they have their world, and there's no communication in between. I feel fortunate to work for places that that's not an issue.
I was going to say, so you're involved with what is coming up on the menu next so that you can coordinate with that.
Exactly. Like, we try to communicate with each other as to, like, what the dishes are going to be, and that's imperative if I'm going to be also putting together a wine list or a beer list. Like, I need to know what kind of foods those wines are going to pair with. So we try to keep in touch on those kind of things. That way everything's cohesive and harmonious.
That's great. So what have you got coming up on the menu that's new and different for the fall?
I'm really excited about some new signature cocktails that we'll be doing here that haven't necessarily been on the menu yet, but we've tried them out and kind of tested them, and we like them. So here in the next couple of weeks, we'll be rolling out an actual little menu of our own creations as opposed to old classics. That's a lot of fun. I encourage people to come in and give those a try and let us taste them on them. And then we've also got some great new wine selections and some really nice new southern beers coming out too. So,
well, I'll tell you what, my friend Kelly just got here, and we'll both have a cocktail. So why don't we? Do you mind if I go back here and you can show me how you're making cocktails?
Please.
All right. What are you thirsty for?
Work and pleasure.
Yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah. What are you thirsty for?
I don't know.
He's gonna make us a cocktail. Okay. So, are you? Is there anything you don't like?
No.
Oh, okay. Good. Me either. Okay, so now this is a pretty famous bar.
It is. It's been around for a long time.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Just push me out of the way if I'm in the way. You know, I was a waitress, but I always kind of wanted to be a bartender. It's so much cooler. Yeah? Okay, so what are you going to make? Just whatever. We're both game.
Let's make an old-fashioned.
All right. You know, there's a restaurant in, there's a restaurant called the Old Fashioned in, Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And that's what they're supposed to be famous for, is a old fashioned. Now, I heard you do this. You make your own ice.
I do make my own ice. I like to use Mountain Valley Spring Water because it's a local program, or a local product, and really adds to our program, I think. So I make big blocks that I carve down with a saw and a chef knife. In some cases, and I also use trays, like silicone
trays. For little square ice cubes, like real squares.
A study was done recently on Mountain Valley ice, and it actually, the Mountain Valley water has the same, or very similar content to the water in the Highlands of Scotland. So it
it mixes really, great with scotch. Yeah,
it's great with scotch, great with bourbon. I mean, just wonderful whiskey ice.
Oh, so good. Okay,
that's
good.
That's mainly why I choose
whiskey ice. Let's go for it. That's crazy. So you're going to shave this ice, aren't you?
I'm going to cut this one down into a little block. And it's very important.
You've got
to
a little. I love that you have a little ice glove.
My fingers love it too.
Because you won't hurt yourself and cut your. Have you cut yourself?
Not yet.
Okay, good. Look at you. Okay. Oh wow, that's going to be beautiful, and it's clear.
It is clear.
You can use that snow for something too. Look at you.
I do occasionally use that as my shaved ice if I don't have a.
Did you have to learn to cut ice?
It was a personal endeavor.
Because you
like
have to
anything
have a,
else, it's
does it dull your knives?
I sharpen them. Not too terribly.
That was a stupid question. So that's one for one drink?
That's one for one drink.
All right. That's a pretty... Oops, I'm catching on the bourbon. Okay. Good highball glass. And you have beakers.
I like to use beakers. I like to stir my old-fashioneds. If you have a cocktail that's primarily spirit-based, a lot of times you want to stir it so you don't over-dilute. You can maintain the quality of the spirit.
He's the wizard behind the bar. So that's just...
Measure a couple ounces.
Old Granddad, is that your favorite bourbon?
This is my favorite go-to. I use Old Granddad bottled in bond for a lot of stuff.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know that Old Granddad and Basil Hayden are the same fella. So it's
now we do.
Fantastic bourbon.
Okay.
You grab some sugar.
Let me get on this side. Look at that shaved ice. That is so cool. Okay, so it's Old Granddad, and what is this?
This is a raw sugar syrup.
Okay.
So I do an ounce of that to every 2 ounces of my whiskey, and that's a 1-to-1 ratio, sugar to water. Add some ice, and I use 3 bitters. I use Reagan's orange bitters, a couple dashes of that. I use Angostura bitters, standard bitters that most people have in their homes.
Let me ask you, what is bitters?
Bitters are basically, you take roots and herbs and spices and seeds, things that contain high levels of alkalines, and soak them in alcohol and extract that that basic alkalinity, and then sweeten it and add it to sweeten your tincture, and then you you can use that to balance the acidity in a cocktail. So anybody that's ever gone out and had cheap margaritas at a mediocre Mexican restaurant has gotten heartburn afterwards. When you add bitters, you balance the pH, and it'll calm the stomach.
So there's a reason for it.
There is a reason for it, not just flavor. It also helps calm the stomach, stimulates the gallbladder.
Okay. So you're making this kind of like a martini on the rocks because you're going to... Pour the you're chilling the alcohol, mm-hmm. but then you're going to pour it out.
So chilling and diluting. It's
and
very
diluting.
Important. The dilution is a very important point because you put the strong ingredients in the cocktail. You want to add a little water to tame it. So the stirring process actually mellows it out just a little bit.
That is a beautiful drink. That's gorgeous. And look at that gorgeous big old rock. A chunk of ice in there.
It's a lot of fun to do. Let me grab an orange.
Okay, he's gonna look at that. That's pretty, isn't it? Then you're gonna put orange peel on it. And so you're also getting some oils from the orange.
Absolutely. So that adds quite a bit of flavor.
Oh, but you didn't put it in there. Oh, you did put it in there. I'm in the way once again. Bars are not for, you know.
Clean up the edges.
Beautiful.
And I even like to run a little oil around the outside of the glass. That way it gets on the drinker's fingers and kind of lingers with him.
That is beautiful. Okay, here we go.
A little stir.
That's gorgeous.
Give it a try.
I love this big rock block.
It's fun. And it'll change the flavor slowly as it melts.
Oh, that's good. That it really is good. Oh, yeah.
Fashion.
That's fantastic.
I like to think you don't need all that muddled up fruit and cherry in there.
No, it tastes fabulous. Okay, what's the next one? Kelly, you can try that one too if you want. I know you don't care if we'll drink after each other, but we'll get another one too. That's so good.
Let's do a Blackberry Bramble.
Okay.
This has been a popular cocktail for us.
You know, I usually just drink, you know, fluffy, you know, girly drinks. That's good, isn't it? It's good. But she's sharing our drink. I love this.
This one's a lot more approachable, I think, to just an average drinker.
Because it's not, it doesn't have a strong bourbon or strong vodka.
It's real easy to drink, real palatable. Do an ounce and a half of gin. I'm going to use a standard granulated sugar syrup, so it's clear.
Oh, okay, yeah. The other one that we used was not.
It was a turbinado sugar.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it was just a darker sugar when
raw
it started.
Sugar, yeah, and they have a different flavor.
Yeah, they do.
This one's going to be a lot more refined. And I'm going to do an half ounce of lemon juice.
Now, what was that again?
Half ounce of lemon juice.
Lemon juice. Mm-hmm. And you squeeze your own lemons, I bet.
I do, yes. All of our citrus is squeezed.
And you make your, do you have like a, is there anything called a sweet and sour mix, or do you have a?
We do that. I mean, it can be done. We don't do it here.
Okay.
Like, instead, we just use fresh lemon and fresh lime. And
that makes sense.
If something calls for all the ingredients, we add them all. But,
yeah, that makes sense.
We go a lot more straightforward and simple.
Yeah, yeah.
On our citrus. So most drinks are going to have either lemon or lime in them.
Okay.
Give it a good shake. This one, we want to dilute a little more. That's why we're shaking it. Make it nice and refreshing. And we're going to strain it. And I always like to put my ice in last, because I feel like it makes the cocktail last a little longer.
Yeah.
So, on this one, I'm going to use my standard bar ice, because I want it to dilute.
Ooh.
This is a float of creme de mure or blackberry liqueur.
Yay.
This particular one's out of Oregon, and they make a fantastic product.
And then you're going to put a little lemon on it. Oh, yeah. And it's a pretty drink.
A little lemon.
Beautiful. Blackberry Bramble.
Blackberry Bramble. Another old classic cocktail.
Oh, yeah. Wow, what a nice... it's got a nice... You know, the lemon and the sweetness of the berry really do balance that so nicely. And what was the alcohol in that was?
Gin.
Gin.
Mm-hmm. But it's funny because the gin doesn't really come through as gin.
No, it doesn't.
This is a good starter cocktail for people who are afraid of gin.
Well, you know, gin, you know, has such a evergreen, you know, taste to it. And I like gin. I mean, I think that's, I kind of drink it because it does taste like a evergreen. But, yeah, you don't taste it in there.
I completely agree.
And oh, that's
nice. It
just
adds a little spice as opposed to being Christmas tree flavored.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Those are both fantastic. Okay, you have to taste this one too, Kelly, because that one's good. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I think you're right. So many times when you go to a not so sophisticated or maybe a chain restaurant and you're getting a margarita that comes out of a machine or whatever, and you do get, I mean, it does upset your stomach, where an alcoholic beverage shouldn't do that to you.
I don't think they should.
I mean, you know, you can always purge and, you know.
Sure.
You know, you can always be the binger and drink whatever. But really, people didn't drink cocktails a long time ago to get drunk. They drank cocktails to relax or to, you know. That wasn't the reason they had cocktails.
I agree. No, I mean, cocktails are generally going to be a little too heavy to just get drunk on.
Right.
It's not a drunkard's game, really. But
not
they can make you feel good. Right?
They can make you feel good. There's nothing.
Is a bad margarita. And it's very
I bet you make a good
well.
One, I bet.
I make an okay margarita, and I also have to give a nod out to the people down at Local Lime. I think they make the best margarita in town.
It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome.
I'll drink their margaritas out of the machine any day.
Well, and they've perfected the machines that
they have.
I mean, they've done it very purposefully.
They are dialed in. They know what they're doing.
They do know what they're doing. Hey, David, this has been great. I've learned a lot about alcohol.
Awesome.
And I can't, and you know, if you need someone to carry your bags to the next, what was the spirits convention? I love that.
Okay.
Thanks. David Burnett, South on Main. Awesome. Thank you.
Drink. thinking again and thinking of when you loved me. I'm having a few and wishing that you were here, making the rounds, accepting a round from strangers. Being a fool, just hoping that you'll appear.
We're back. I'm Mary Tweed, and this is Arkansas Cooks. You can find out more about South on Main by going to their website, southonmain.com, or you can go to my website, arkansascooks.com. We'll have information for you. And if you're interested in writing me, you can do that at mary@arkansascooks.com. I love to hear from you folks. The stuff I get is always so great. Well, that's all the time we have today for Arkansas Cooks. Thanks for tuning in. I want to thank David Burnett and Matthew Bell. What great guys down on South on Main. Had a ball. Also, thanks to Travis Hill. He makes me sound so good. This is Mary Tweet reminding all you Arkansas cooks, life is too short to eat bad food. So only eat great food and eat it with great people, people that you love. It'll taste so much better.